In my heart, I'm rejoicing. How I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. 'Cause there's a roof up above me, and I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Now I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, oh, but Lord, I have you. Amen. And to me, that's all that matters. Amen. Though this world may not see, I thank
there's a roof up above me, and I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table, and there's shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family.
I thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
I want us to read this morning from the book of Luke, chapter number 15. The gospel according to St. Luke, chapter number 15. We're preaching this morning and reading from the what is commonly known as the parable of the prodigal son. Stand with us if you find your place. When you find your place, we'll read the word of the Lord together from Luke chapter 15. And I want to begin reading down in verse number 11. We'll read through verse 24. That's not the end of the parable, but it'll be the end of most of what we'll be preaching about this morning from Luke chapter number 15. Verse 11, the word of the Lord says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And when he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father when he was a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and put shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the word of the Lord. There have surely been millions of sermons preached over the last 2,000 years concerning our Lord's parable of the prodigal son. I don't know how many hundreds of sermons maybe that I have preached from this passage of Scripture. Preached one time 6 weeks in a row on Sunday morning at Union Hill when I was pastoring there on this parable of the prodigal son. There's so many sermons here to be preached. I've preached from this passage on who's slopping the hogs. Amen. I have preached on the boy who would not listen. The plight of the prodigal, the son who lost all and gained life. I've preached on the Heavenly Father, how He's patient with me, loves me, forgives me, belongs to me. I've preached on the prodigal's request, his reason, his ramble, his return, his repentance, his reception. I've preached on my friend the prodigal son, the prodigal's sibling, and the prodigal Savior. Three different sermons in that series. I've preached on the story of a stiff-necked son. And there are so many sermons to be preached from this passage of Scripture. And I'm certain that in the truth be known that Jesus Himself told it best. The master storyteller, the master preacher. My friend, then the characters of the story that he tells here in Luke chapter 15, it seems as though they step out on the stage of divine revelation in exhilarating fashion and act out their several parts with never to be forgotten naturalness, and then leave, my friend, themselves, an ineligible mark on the screen of our memories as if the curtain had never fallen on the scene of our lives. I mean, a friend, in the verse of the chapter, in chapter 15, Jesus gives actually three parables. The first parable He gives unto them, beginning in verse number 4, has to do with the lost sheep. There's a man that has 100 sheep. One of them is lost. He leaves the 99 and goes and seeks after that one that is lost and brings him back again. The second parable is that of a lost coin, beginning in verse number 8. A woman who had 10 pieces and lost one, and she swept the house and lit a candle, and she searched diligently until she found it. And then she called together all of her friends and neighbors and said, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." In both cases, the Lord told us, my friend, that likewise that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents and gets right with the Lord. Amen. But He starts off this chapter with a parable of a lost sheep, and then He tells us of the parable of a lost coin. But He finishes up with what's really important to the Lord. It's not, my friend, acquisitions or possessions as the sheep. It's not money or finance as is it is in the lost coin. But it's the souls of men. For He tells us of a lost sheep and a lost coin that finishes up with a lost boy. Amen. And that's really what God's interested in this morning. It's the lost men, women, boys, and girls that are in need of a Savior. And He tells us in this last parable, the parable of a lost boy, and how that he left home and came back then to his father. And what a precious passage that it is. I mean, hundreds of sermons could be preached from this passage. You could talk about the impatience of the son. We could preach on the impartiality of the father, the impiety of the wanderer. We could talk about the impression of the home. Aren't you thankful this boy had a home that even when he wandered far off, home made an impression on him? Even in the hog pen, he thought about home. He thought about the father. He thought about how things were at home. I want my home to be that kind of home, that no matter how far my children may go, and they may not always do everything that's right, but if we'll bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and raise them up in the way they ought not, that they ought to go in the good old, they'll not depart from it. It does not mean that it's a guarantee that they'll be saved, but it doesn't matter if they go to the far end of the earth. They can't get away from the way you raised them. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you, the impression of the home. We could preach about the imperishableness of parental love. How that the father always loved them and always would, always has, and always will. I'm glad we've got a father's love that is imperishable. Amen. And we could talk about the imprudence of the elder brother and how when the boy came home, the elder brother got upset and they said, "Why are you rejoicing over him? All that he's done and what he's done.
done. Sometimes the folks in the church have a very little patience and such with new converts and things. But if the heavens rejoice over one that repents, we ought to rejoice about it too. Amen. And we could talk about, friend, the importance of the return. How that the young man did return. Yes, he was a prodigal. And yes, he wandered far from home. And yes, he went to the hog pen. But thank God he did return. He did come home. He did repent. I want to tell you, friend, hey, I talked the other day, Brother Bob and I was talking about how that in the past there's a lot of things that folks are not proud of, that they're ashamed of the things that are in the past. But I'm glad, thank God, for the penitent soul. That which is past can be past. That which is past can be gone. I want to tell you something, friend. If you'll just come home, all can be forgiven. If you'll just come home, our sins can be forgotten. If you'll just come home, everything can change. Bless His high and holy name. Hey, I'm glad, as I told Brother Bob last week, I'm glad that the Lord, my friend, by faith, imputes righteousness to our account. That word imputes a banker's term. It means to make a deposit. In other words, He takes the righteousness of Christ. And when we by faith trust Him, He puts the righteousness of Christ and deposits it in my account. And when He sees my account, it was that where I was in debt. I was in the red. I was in the hole. I was in a debt that I could not pay. When He imputed the righteousness of Christ in my account, it not only paid my debt, it gave me the earnest of the Holy Ghost that was sufficient to make it all the way from here to glory. I'm telling you, nothing is more important than the return home. Amen. I'll say, friend, if we was to preach on this every Sunday between now and Jesus comes, we wouldn't exhaust the story of my friend of the prodigal son. The story of the prodigal son. And my friend, we preach a lot of sermons on the father. He is the hero of the story. We could preach on the son. He is, my friend, the miracle of the story. Or we could preach on the elder son. He is the same of the story. I mean, he stayed faithful with his father all along, and yet he could not get the heart of the father. And many are those, friends that are in the church every Sunday and doing all the right things, but they don't have the heart of the father. They don't have a longing for sinners to come home. They don't have a burden for those that are astray. God help us to have the heart of the father this morning. Amen. Well, but today, there's many different things what I can preach on. I don't want to preach on nothing specific. I just want to preach to you about this prodigal son. Preach to you about the plight of this prodigal son. Amen. And I thought about that song that I sing sometimes around here. Like the prodigal son, I wandered from Jesus. Amen. But the good shepherd came through the heat and the cold. The 99 he left in the fold just to find this one lost sheep who was hungry and cold. Amen. I'm so thankful for that father. Amen. And I want to preach to you about this prodigal son, or the plight of this prodigal son. First of all, this morning, this passage and in this parable, I want you to notice his demand. His demand. I'm going to give you a lot of different things to think about this morning, and then not stress specifically, concentrate on anything, and maybe somewhere or another something of God will sin will be targeted just for you. Amen. I want to talk about his demand. In verse number 12, he said, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. His demand. In this we see the rampage of a rebel. Amen. The rampage of a rebel. My friend, he made some demands. He had a good father. He had a good home. No doubt had everything that he wanted. Even the servants had bread enough and to spare. My friend, no doubt he had everything. Maybe even was just a little bit spoiled. I mean, he had everything so much. By the way, no use in us picking too much on this man for being spoiled. I reckon everybody in here has got more than what we need, don't we? I reckon everybody in here has got more than what we deserved. I think the Heavenly Father spoiled us into this life a bit, don't you? I mean, I think He's been divinely, my friend, favorable towards us and has shed multitudes of mercy and grace on us. And that's where this man was living. This young man was living. And yet we see his rebellion rise up in him. And he goes on a rampage. And he makes demands. And he said, I'm not waiting till time for you to die, Daddy. I want my cut now. I want what's coming to me now. I'll give him what's coming to him. Amen. I'll tell you, friend, thank God. And he said, I want what's coming to me now. And he gave him his living and departed unto him his living. And to my friend, this man went out on a rampage. Amen. That was a rampage caused by allurement. You see, he was tempted. Any man when he sins has thrown away of his own lust and entice. And when lust is conceived, bringing forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringing forth death. It is caused by allurement. He was tempted. He saw the bright lights in the big city. He saw the fun of the big parties. He, my friend, heard what all his friends said about how much fun they were having. He never saw the other side of sin. He never dreamed he'd be in a hog pen. All he could see was the allurement and the attraction of the world and of the flesh and of the devil. His rampage was caused by an allurement. It was carried out in rebellion. I mean, he was tired of Daddy telling him what to do, telling him when to go to bed at night, telling him when to get up in the morning, telling him when he had to go, my friend, come to supper, what time he had to be home in the evenings. He was tired of a daddy telling him what kind of clothes he could wear, and music he could listen to, and crowd he could hang around. He said, I know well enough how to handle myself. I've got it all figured out. You youngers, listen to me now. I'm going to preach a youth sermon this morning. Amen. They called me a night again to preach youth revival. And they expect me to tow some gimmicks and games and gadgets and a lollipops in my pocket. This is what a youth sermon is. Amen. I want to tell you, he got tired of Daddy telling him what to do, where to go, and how to do it. And he said, I'll do it my own way. I want to tell you, that spirit of rebellion is as into the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as into idolatry. Amen. This ain't in the Bible, but it wouldn't hurt the Bible to put it in there. My daddy used to say that hard heads make sore places. And that's right. Hard heads make sore places. I want to tell you the best thing you can do, instead of being stiff-necked and rebellious against your parents, you get with a program. Amen. And do what they say. And go sell out to God. And remember your Creator now in the days of your youth. And avoid the rebellion that will destroy your life. Amen. That's exactly right. We're talking about his demand now. The rampage of a rebel. The rampage of a rebel is caused by allurement. It was carried out in rebellion. I want to tell you, it confirms a lack of respect. I'm telling you, friend, hey, the Bible does teach you to honor your father and mother, to obey them in the Lord, for this is right. It's the first commandment with promise, matter of fact. Hey, but we're talking about a boy that said, Daddy, I'm sick of waiting on you to die. I wish you'd just give me my money that's coming to me now. I don't want to wait till you're in the grave. Looks like you're never going to die. Give me now what belongs to me. I want it now. It confirms the lack of respect for his father. Now listen, this boy had a good dad. He had a good father, but he didn't respect him. But I want to tell you something. If his father was a disgrace, he still ought to show showed him respect. That's because he was the father. Amen.
These kids are screaming and hollering at their mom and daddy. You've heard this. There's a clown that's on the radio with all these advertisements about, I believe, what is his name? Lehman, something or other, Lehman. And he's always got these advertisements on the radio. How to turn your child's attitude around in 10 seconds or less, or 1 minute or less. I want to tell you something. My daddy knew how to do that. And he didn't even read a book about it. Amen. That's exactly right. I want to tell you some friend, he talks about, he said, "Well, I'll show you what to do when your child is acting out in school, or when they become rebellious, obstinate, or even abusive." I thought, I'd just like to see my youngest become abusive with me. Boy, that worked real good. I'm big and they're small. I'm right and they're wrong. I'm the daddy and they're the kids. My Lord in heaven help a punified parent that will not take the rod and administer discipline unto their children. And judgment will fall upon a child that's hard-headed and will not accept discipline. And those hard heads will make sore places. You hear me, young'uns? You're not only rebelling against your parents when you don't respect them, you're demonstrating rebellion against God. That's right. It confirms a lack of respect that he had towards his daddy. He didn't see his daddy as a trying to be a help and a blessing to him. He viewed his father as an obstacle to enjoying all the good things of life and having happiness in life. Daddy just don't want me to have no fun. He thought, well, you know what it was, don't you? Daddy didn't want him in the hog pen. Daddy didn't want him starving to death. Daddy didn't want him broke as a convict. Daddy didn't want him to live in regret. Amen, that's right. That's not that your parents, that's not that our Heavenly Father don't want us to have fun. He's a trying to keep you out of the hog pen. He's a trying to keep you out of trouble.
Amen.
His demand. We're talking about the rampage of a rebel. Secondly, I want you to notice his departure in verse number 13. When his father gave him everything, it didn't take long till that boy left. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his country, his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Amen. My friend, we see his demand, the rampage of the rebel. We see his departure. He departed on the road of a rambler. On the road of a rambler. Well, friend, he traveled down the wrong road. That road that leads in the wrong direction. Every time you're walking away from home, away from the Father, you're headed in the wrong direction. Amen. Well, my friend, I remember Ronnie Jones up in Hodgenville, Kentucky, preaching on wrong way, wrong way. You're starting to go up the interstate ramp, and if you're going on the off ramp, there'll be a sign there on both sides in red that says wrong way, wrong way, wrong way. I want to tell you, for the saint of God and for that all of mankind, really, the bloodstained cross of Jesus serves as a sign on the roadside of life, on the road of sin, on the road of a rambler. It says wrong way, wrong way, wrong way. Turn around and go back home. Let this boy sit out on the road of a rambler. I want to tell you something about this road. That road's easy to enter. It's easy to get out on the road of a rambler. Amen. I mean, it's a broad way. And my friend, it's well paved. It's well marked. It's heavily traveled. It seems right. That's what it says in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, that it's a broad way. Many there be that go in thereat. That's what it says in Proverbs 14 and 12 and 16, 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. At the end thereof are the ways of death. I want to tell you something, friend. That broad way is easy to enter.
It's easy to enter, but it's difficult to desert.
It's easy to get on that route of sin, but it sure is hard to leave that route. walking this road of a rambler is like getting into the mafia. It's a whole lot harder to get out than what it is to get in. Amen. Oh yes, it's easy to enter, but it's difficult to desert. You see, the road of sin, the road of a rambler, is a road of bondage, slavery, servitude. I mean, Satan will get you just interested enough that you won't want to get out until it is too late for you. Amen, that's right. It's easy to enter, but it's difficult to desert. I want to say it's easy to enter, it's difficult to desert. I want to tell you it's certain to cost you. It's certain to cost. I'm saying, friend, it'll take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than what you want to stay, and cost you far more than what you want to pay. Listen, hey, this boy left home. He didn't plan on going to the hog pen, but that's where the road took him. He knew the hog pen, no doubt. Daddy warned him that was what was waiting at the end of the road if he left home. And he said, hey, I'll never go that far, Dad. I'll never get that far out. I'll never stay in that long. That sin will reel you in and cost you. There was a man in a surrounding county back about 20 years ago, was the president of a local bank, successful local bank, and had everything at the tips of his fingertips, was attending a local church in one of our surrounding areas. And my friend, everything seemed like it going right for him. I mean, he had the world at his fingertips, the tiger by the tail, so to speak. But you know, a lot of the boys down at the bank that he wanted to make sure he associated with and fellowshipped with and kind of got the crew together. You know, he said it'd be good for the bank that he ran and so forth with all this and the fellowship together and so forth. And they began drinking socially together and such and playing cards, you know, on Friday night and the Saturday night together. And listen, hey, it wasn't long. A man that had a nice house and a nice car and a good job and wore the nicest clothes. My friend lost everything, gambling and drinking, and his family left him, and his wife and children had nothing to do with him, and he was on the street, and even gambled away the very suit of clothes on his back, and he's just standing on the side of the road in the middle of Dallas, Georgia. Had nothing but his underwear. And his family begged the police to arrest him and get him off the street because they was ashamed of him. I want to tell you, sin will take you farther than you ever planned on going. It'll tear your life apart. We've had people in this church right here that come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, clean the church. I'll come to work day, stand on their head, memorize scriptures, do all that stuff, but begin dabbling in sin. Had the one, my friend, that wasn't long. They started dabbling and talking to women and men and whatever on the internet. And then my friend wasn't long. Done got back to drinking and nipping just a little bit on the side all the while, still coming to church now and again. And then my friend, but they got to come in less and less. And they're living in sin more and more and more. And today, them little boys and girls is living in surrounding states, sacking up and on drugs and alcohol. And last time I heard, Mama was in Kentucky with some fella she run off on with off of the internet. And Daddy's been in the dry clinics and tried to commit suicide on several occasions. And the life is in a wreck. And their home's in shambles. And the coming up generations are not living in sin as well. And it all started with the road of a rambler. It'll take you farther than what you plan to go. Amen. That's right. Oh, God, help us. Ain't no way I'll get done with all this morning, but I'm trying to help you this morning. Hey, the road of a rambler, it's a dangerous road. Amen. It's easy to enter. It's difficult to desert. It's certain to cost. His demand, the rampage of a rebel, his departure, the road of a rambler. Thirdly, I want you to notice his downfall, the ruin of riotous living. His downfall, the ruin of riotous living. In verse number 13, not many days after the youngest son gathered all together, took his journey in far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. I want to tell you something. The party life, the big scenes, the big cities, the bright lights, that ain't all the foolishness it's cracked up to be. Amen. And you can spend your life trying to find something there that'll help you and wind up empty and bare. Or you can go ahead before you get too far down the road and come back to the Father's house now. Amen. The riotous living. I want to tell you what the world say. The world say, if you'll go with us, you'll have friends. Ain't that right? They'll say, oh man, I just enjoy partying, you know, hanging out, having a good time with my friends. You've heard young people say it all the time. I mean, have the biggest time. We just some friends hanging out. I won't tell you what kind of friends they are. This man here had friends. I'm certain of that. He had friends. You know how I know he had friends? He had money. If you got money, you got friends. At least as long as you got money, you do. Amen. And when the money's gone, the friends are gone. That's exactly right. As long as you got a car to ride around in, as long as you got money to spend, long as you're buying their liquor and their dope, long as what you're carrying that crowd around, long as what y'all go spend your money, you'll have lots of friends. Till the money runs out. That's right. There's always friends when there's money, but those friends will get you in trouble and then they'll leave. Where were those friends at when this boy was in the hog pen? Where were those friends at when he was so hungry? He was ready to eat the slop with the hogs. Where were those friends at when this boy was coming to himself and a starving to death? I want to tell you, friend, hey, Amnon had a friend. Ain't that right? And that's what 2 Samuel 13 said. Amnon had a friend. His friend's name was Jonadab. Jonadab was a very subtle man. And hey, friend, Jonadab talked Amnon into raping his own sister. And the lesson, hey, I won't tell you what a good friend Jonadab was to Amnon. When Absalom came along and killed Amnon, Jonadab laughed about it. He was such a good friend. When his friend got killed, he laughed about it. I want to tell you, these kind of friends, they won't even show up at your funeral, sign the guest book. They won't help you when you're in trouble. They won't pray for your soul. I want to tell you where you'll find real friends. In Jesus and His family at the house of God. Amen. This young man thought he found friends in the world. His real friends was back home. Amen. He thought his father was an obstacle. His father was a friend. Amen. He had friends until the money ran out. The ruin of righteous living. We're talking about his downfall. He had female companionship. Verse number 30 says that he devoured his living with harlots. Amen. Now listen, let me say this before I get any further. You young men always be very, very leery of a girl that's always wanting you to buy her something. That's right. Of a girl that the only reason why she wants to go out with you, or only reason why she'll stay sweet on you, or only reason why she'll hang around is because she wants you to buy her something. And as long as you're buying her something, she'll hang around. You be very leery of a girl that you think you have to buy her attention, her affection, and her love, because when you go broke, she'll go hunting somebody else. Amen, that's right. I mean, friend, hey, I was just about living on a clothesline and eating wind pudding when Sonya and I got married. I mean, we didn't have no money for nothing. She might have married me for earnings potential, but she sure didn't marry me for what money I already had. And she knew I was such a tightwad, I never would buy anything. Amen. Listen to me, friend. If you've got to buy a woman's love, she don't love you. Amen, that's right. Listen, friend, hey, he bought these women's love. He bought their affection. He bought their attention. But when his money ran out, he was in the hog pen by himself. When his money ran out, he went home by himself. When his money ran out, he sat with his head in his hands and cried by himself. Amen. He had friends. He had female companionship. I want to say he was living in the fast lane. His living in the fast lane. Boy, that's a modern day terminology. Life in the fast lane. Boy, I'm having fun. Got the pedal, Brother Matthew says, got the pedal to the middle and the thing to the floor. I mean, I'm telling you, hey, living life in the fast lane. But I want to tell you what the life in the fast lane will be. The faster you go, the harder you'll fall. And the more you'll get hurt.
Tell you what you better do. You better live life at the Father's house instead of the fast lane. His downfall was the ruin of righteous living. His demand, the rampage of a rebel. His departure, the road of a rambler. His downfall, the ruin of righteous living. Let's talk about his desperation. The reason of his regret. Verses 16 and 15 and 16 says that he went and joined himself to a citizen of that other country. Sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now that don't sound like a terrible thing to us. Don't sound good, but don't sound terrible. But when you understand that these Jews said that the hogs is the nastiest animal that there was and hated them and despised them, and it was inappropriate for them even to be in fellowship with people who ate of the swine and ate of my friend pork and such. And here he was taking a job going down to feed the hogs. This was the lowest and rottenest and low-downest job that any Jew could possibly have. I mean, this was hitting his body as rock bottom as a human being could possibly be. He'd give up on ever enjoying life again. He'd given up on anything ever being good again. In that hog pen, he looked around at them pigs and said, I'm no better than they are. And I regret all of my life. I regret everything I've done, everywhere I've been, everything I've been into. Oh, hear me, friend. As a lot of folks has had to live a life regret because of the hog pens of life that they found themselves in. They regretted when they left. They regretted how they lived. They regretted who they loved. They regretted, my friend, the life that they've led.
He found himself in desperation, out of funds and without counsel, nobody and no one to tell him what to do. He was out of food and without comfort. He was just about ready to eat with the hogs. He was out of fellowship and without a friend. All alone in a hog pen. But
then he came to himself. Boy, everything's going in the wrong direction all the way through up to verse number 17. Everything's going in the wrong direction. But do you notice what happens in verse 17? That divine conjunction but steps in. That word means that he accepts everything that was said before and then turns it all around in a new direction. But then he came to himself. Boy, I'm so glad. Thank God. Hear me, friend. When you're out of funds and without counsel, out of food and without comfort, out of fellowship without a friend, I'm not here to be a friend to you. You can come to yourself, get you some spiritual sanity, and get back to the Father's house.
Notice his desire. He remembered what it was like at home. He said, how many of the hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Why am I doing this? Well, that's a good question for you to ask this morning. If you're not where you need to be with God, or you've got something in your life that ought not to be, why am I doing this? You know what I think? I think the chances are that you probably ain't got no good reasons. Can I say that again? If you'll ask yourself why you're doing that, chances are you probably don't have no good reasons. Amen. Amen. Why am I doing this? I mean, friend, he said, hey, my father's house is a good place to live. Even the servants have got it good there. And look at me, I'm ready to eat slop with the hogs. I mean, his desire was once more. He remembered what it was like at home. He wanted just once more to eat bread at his father's house. I'm telling you, notice his desire. In this we see the revival of a radical. I'm glad if you're not where you need to be with God, if you're just in far from the Father's house, how about if you'll come to yourself and realize where you are? There's a pathway back home, and you can get it right with God.
Amen.
Notice his decision this morning, verses 18 and 19. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll arise and go to my father, and I'll tell my father I've sinned in heaven and before thy sight, and I'm not even worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. At least if I'm a hired servant, I'll have bread to spare. I'd rather be a hired servant than what I had to be out here in the field eating with the hogs. You hear me, friend? You may think now in your life when you enjoyed sin and there's pleasure in sin that you'd rather live the life of a rambler. But I want to tell you something. You'd be
better off to be a servant of God than a son of the devil. Amen. His decision. In this we see the return of a rascal. Amen. Amen. The return of a rascal. I want to tell you something. If you ever do return, you're going to have to realize what a rascal you are. Amen. You're not going to come back to the Lord and say, all right, Lord, you're about tired of it all now. You're ready to take me home? Ready to do things my way? That ain't the way you're going to have to come home. You're going to have to come home as a rascal. Amen. He decided he was going to do some things. He decided, I will return to my father. Amen. He decided, I'll repent of my folly. Everything I've done is wrong. I'm turning my back on the way I've lived, what I've done, the belly full of the devil's junk that I've got. I'm turning my back on it. Brother, when you get there, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Folks don't get saved on account of they want to go to heaven. They get saved because they want Jesus to get them out of sin. Amen. When you get sick of sin, the devil, the way you're living, and you want God more than you want anything, and you turn from your ways and turn to Jesus, that's what repentance is. Repent of my folly. He decided I'll return to my father. Repent of my folly. He decided I'd give a request for forgiveness. Amen. Oh, Father, I've sinned before heaven. And in thy sight, and I know I'm probably not fit to be a son anymore. But if you just make me a hired servant, I'd be satisfied. I mean, whatever you do, I'd be satisfied with it. I want to tell you something, friend. That's where you need to be. If you want to get right with God, Lord, I know I've done wrong. If you just forgive me and let me serve you. Repent of your folly. Request forgiveness. And then we see his deliverance in this chapter in verse number 20. Amen. All he was looking for was employment. He figured if I got to work for a living, at least I could work for Daddy. And I know he treats his servants good. So I'll just go back and at least see if I can get a job with him. Maybe he won't take me back as his boy. But maybe he'll at least give me a job. Well, I like to see people that get saved that wants a job to do. Amen. He said at least maybe he'll give. All his wanting was employment. Amen. But he found so much more when he got back to the Father's house. His deliverance. My friend, we notice his demand, the rampage of rebel, his departure, the road of rambler, his downfall, the righteous ruin of righteous living, his desperation, the reason of his regret, his desire, the revival of a radical, his decision, the return of a rascal, his deliverance. I want to show you two things in his deliverance. First of all, the rejoicing of a relative. Amen. Well, the Father saw in the Bible, said in verse 20, while he was yet a great way off, and he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Wow, and he rejoiced for his son coming home. The Father forgot the sad departure of his son. He asked him no questions. He made no judgmental remarks. He did not interrogate him. He just said, son, I'm glad you're home. The boy said, Father, I've sinned. The son said, Father, I've sinned. The father said, I'm glad you're home. The boy said, make me a servant. The father said, get him a ring. Amen. Woo! I want to tell you something, friend. All he looked for was employment. But he found a lot more than that. Hallelujah. The father remembered the sweet fellowship. He remembered when he saw that boy. Now listen to me, friend. You look at your little boys and girls, and hey, I look at Gracie now, and she'll be 8 years old here in about a month. And it seemed like she ought to be about 8 to 10 months old. I mean, just don't seem right. But I look in her little face and them big blue eyes and that big pretty smile with all them crooked teeth. And you know what? I know she's getting to be a big girl. But hear me, when I look in her face, I don't see that big girl, 8 years old. I see that little baby I held in my arms that held my finger with her entire hand. I see that little girl that stares at her daddy with a gleam in her eye. And I remember the sweet fellowship from that day until now. And hear me, friend, this father saw his son turn into a person he didn't like and didn't appreciate. But when he saw his boy beaten and bruised and tattered, when he saw his boy ravaged by sin, coming off in the distance, he didn't see that boy in the hog pen. He looked at his eyes and saw that same twinkle. He looked at his face and saw that same smile. And he loved him just like he loved him when he was yet a baby. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, however much sin that a fellow's been off into, our Heavenly Father looks upon us and finds a gleam in his eye. Hallelujah. And he's drawn with love towards us in spite of our wrongdoing. And forgiveness is born of mercy in his heart. Hallelujah. And he shows abundant grace toward us.
That's enough to make me want to have fit if I had any energy left. Hallelujah to his name. Maybe for somebody who ain't never done nothing wrong, that ain't too much to you. But for the rest of us dirty old sinners, that sure is a blessing. Hallelujah. Hey. Brother Eddie and I go down in prisons and see them boys down there. And rough men, sometimes murderers, molesters, violent criminals, drug dealers, pimps and rapists, some of the scum of the earth, the rottenest people on the face of the earth is who we are preaching to. You ever been down there, Brother John, when visitation time had come on Saturday or Sunday afternoon and visitation time comes and they open up the gates to those women that comes down through there and gives them their name and they check the list and find out that inmate 5432's mama's here to see him and that she's going to visit him there in prison. She comes in a lot of times. They'll let them bring certain goodies, maybe even a pocket full of change to buy a snack or something out of the vending machine. The boy hadn't had nothing sweet maybe in a couple of weeks. And mama comes in and this boy's killed, folks. He's my friend plundered and stole. He's about as rotten as a human being could possibly be. But mama's coming today. I go down there and I look at them fellas in that white jumpsuit with a stripe down the side and I say, oh, ain't he sorry? And he's low down. And the only reason I preach to him is because I know God loves sinners. But in my heart, I don't have any affection towards them on a personal level outside of loving sinners. You understand what I'm saying? I'm frustrated with what they've done. But listen, mama comes to see him. And mama walks in and mama sits down beside her boy and she don't see a rapist and a murderer and a dope dealer and she sees her boy. Hey, and forgiveness is birthed in her heart and grace is birthed in her heart and abundant mercy is birthed in her heart as she remembers that baby boy whose eyes she looked into when he first cried that first cry and drew that first breath. I want to tell you that's the way the Lord looks at us. He loves us in spite of where we've been, what we've done, who we've been with. And thank God forgiveness has burst in his heart. Amen. My Lord. She's holding your hand there, Brother Matthew, or your finger. She can't hold your hand yet. Someday she'll hold your hand. Someday she'll walk beside you and slip her hand in your pocket. That's what Gracie does. When I don't can't hold my hands, if she can't hold my hands, hands occupied, she'll walk up beside me and hold on to my pocket. Slip her hand in my pocket and hold on to me. As we walk through that place, maybe it's crossing a street or if it's in a Walmart or some busy shopping mall, she don't want nobody to get her. She'll slip her hand and hold on to my pocket. And she knows as long as she's next to Daddy, everything's all right. And she's safe. Now, there'll come a time that she'll get like this boy and she'll feel like she's got it handled on her own. No doubt that happens as you get to feeling yotes and getting independent. And somewhere or another that'll happen. But I hope somewhere or another she'll, like this boy here, realize that you still got to stay close to your Father. Even if I'm gone out of this picture, she's still got to stay close to the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Hear me. There's been times since I've been saved, Brother John, that I hadn't held close to his hand. I hadn't held onto the pocket of the Lord. And my friend, I've come to realize that I'm not safe if I'm not there. That I'm in peril. All if I'm not there. Well, but I'm so glad when I reach up to take his hand again, his hand's always extended. He's not saying, son, since you did, now I won't. But instead, he has a
abundant mercy and grace toward me. Well, that's a helping me this morning. I don't know about you, but it's a helping me. If it ain't helping you, don't tell me, and I won't never know the difference, because it's sure helping me. I praise His high and holy name for it. His deliverance. He's found the rejoicing of a relative. He found the reward of a redeemed son. He was rewarded with a regal robe in place of his rags. He was rewarded with tender care for travel-tired feet. He was rewarded with a robe, a ring of royalty, establishing him not as a servant, but a son again. He was rewarded with a fatted calf for a famished fool. Amen. He was rewarded with the merriment of a family reunion. What a blessing. What a story. The likeness of a child forgiven. His vision was faulty. Let me give you a summary. I'm done preaching. I preached way longer than I intended to, way longer than what I wanted to. His vision was faulty because his outlook was bad. His judgment was overpowered because of the wrong decision he made. His planning was poor because he spent all without profitable investment. His resourcefulness was low because he could not command much in the way of employment. His standing was lost because he joined himself with foreigners. His pride was deflated because he had to tend to the swine. His memory was good because he thought of home. And his repentance was real because he returned with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And his father was ready to receive him home again. Come home, child. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Do you need to come to the Father and get some things right today? If you're here and never been saved by God's grace, I wish you'd come home to God. I wish you'd come home. If you've began to wander from the family's house, from the Father's house, I wish you'd come back and get things right with the Lord. Oh, preacher, I've not been out in gross sin. I didn't even ask you that. I just said you may be wandering just a step or two from home. Just a step or two from home. Maybe you're not far, just a step or two from home. One step away from the Father's hand is too far, and it's put you in danger and in peril. Would you come home today? Come home before it gets out of hand. Come home before you go too far. Come home before you get to the hog pen. Don't let sin destroy your life. The parable, the plight of the parable of the prodigal son. I'm done preaching. Brother Scott, come sing for us if you will. Sing that song out of the hymnal. Come home. Lord, I'm coming home. Whatever it is, come home, child, come home. Jesus is tenderly calling, I think is what it is. Soft and tenderly. That's it. Soft and tenderly. Sing that for me. Softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. Oh, Lord, help us today. God, help us. Would you stand with us if you need to come? I think it's 385. If you need to come do business with the Lord, I wish you'd come today and do business with God. I wish you'd come cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. Go ahead, brother, whenever you get ready. Obey God today.
Softly and tenderly,
obey the Lord.
Jesus
is calling. I wish
you'd
come get something right with God.
Calling for you and for me.
Would you come to yourself? Get some spiritual sanity. Get some help.
See
no use in dragging
portal.
All that around all the time.
He's waiting and watching, watching
help and hope
for
in the Lord.
You and for
you
me.
Would you come?
Come home.
Come home, come home.
Come home.
If you don't know Him, if you're drifting far from Him,
are we?
Come home.
Earnestly, tenderly,
Jesus is calling, sinner,
come home.
Why should
we
tarry?
When Jesus is pleading,
get you some help from the Lord.
Pleading for
get
you,
get forgiveness for your sins
and for me.
Help for the journey. Oh yes.
Why should we linger and heed not His mercies? Mercy for you. and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.